It's a real treat for me to have Christopher Burrow sitting next to me, because I thought we were doing this by phone, but
I don't read emails well.
That's not it. You don't watch a Super Bowl? Good. Chris is an old friend. He's been a friend since, I think, maybe 2017, when the American Writers Museum
was that sounds about right, yeah.
Is that when it opened?
That's when we opened, May of 2017.
You know, I wanted to have you on because you had a guy I've been writing about, a guy named Ed Zwick, who's a big deal Hollywood producer, who's written his first book and director. He was in there last week doing an event, and I realized, oh my God, thank God you guys are still around. And it's one of those museums that it's on the second floor. It's only been around for 5 years, whatever, now 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
I say 5 years because two of those years were COVID. How did you deal with COVID, Chris?
That's a good question. We of course shut down when it was mandated, and luckily we were able to keep most our staff on and working remotely. What we did is we pivoted to a lot of online things that we had kind of been planning for, like the 5 year mark kind of to be able to hit. But we produced three different podcasts. We started putting all of our author talks on our YouTube channel. And built up our subscriptions of YouTube, all that stuff that, you kind of want to do, but when the museum's closed and you have all your talented staff,
but it just geared up and made it all happen.
Yeah, made it all happen. It was great to kind of see how everyone just creatively decided, okay, let's do this.
Let's do it now.
Yeah.
I've been in that place a number of times, and one of the great joys for me is being in there when young people come in, when school groups come in. I love. You're a big fan of typewriters.
Oh, yeah.
As am I.
Yeah.
And it is something incredibly special to see young people look at these mysterious instruments as if they came from another planet.
Yeah, that's one of my greatest joys, too, of the job is manning the typewriter station. So we have an exhibit that's there all the time called Story of the Day, and people get to use one of our six manual typewriters, or they could try them all out, but... they get the kids here there for field trips, and they're not sure. They're like looking at a rotary phone. They're not exactly sure what to do. But then they really, if they get past the frustration and they see the letters, I had one fifth grader call it an instant printer.
Oh,
and
wow.
Just got into it, and that little fifth grader, she typed out three pages single spaced during her field trip saying, oh, I have a story, and she just kept going.
No.
Yeah. And more recently, I had a high school group in there, and one kid just fell in love with typing on the typewriter, and he actually became a member, and he comes back almost weekly to type on the typewriters. And I don't know if he's working on a book or a story, but just the interface and using them is something really that younger kids are really going for.
That's funny. One of the things about it, for those of you who have never been there, it's one of the liveliest museums, I think, in Chicago.
Yeah, we're an experience-based museum.
Yeah.
We try to be immersive in our exhibits and have a lot of things that are interactive. So, people who are used to just looking at their phones, they can still come to our museum and find things that are interesting and maybe surprises and stuff like the typewriters that I've had high school kids leave their phones by the typewriters because they've forgotten about them.
Oh my
because
God.
They've gotten into typing.
How wonderful is that? And something else you started in my time of, in the Tribune moved from being two blocks away to being, God knows where we are now. But this whole, talk about this Get Lit Happy Hour thing that is.
We started that last year, so this is our second year, and it's a monthly happy hour, usually on the second Tuesday of the month. This week, actually, it's going to be on Valentine's Day because it's the theme is Down with Love, and we're going to be reading rejection letters, either from authors or people bring in their own rejection letters. But like last year, we had a person who came in, a visitor, and she read a rejection letter to a university that had rejected her. So it was kind of like, no, I don't accept your rejection. I will be there in the fall to start,
And
it was hilarious.
That
so
is
really, really well written.
And
so our,
how have those been attended? I would think that would be a sort of a growing attraction.
It's really fun because we do different themes every month. So sometimes, you know, we get different audiences every month. Some people are repeat that they come and, you know, for all the different
sure.
themes, but we do, you know, a lot of different activities. There might be, you know, a craft station. There might be a blackout poetry area. Like we're doing the reading this time. There's actually going to be like an arts and craft station where you can decorate a plate and then smash it. So to kind of get that anti-love feeling out.
Wow. So, I think that's a great idea.
So every month, yeah, we do different events.
And you have, I mean, a lot of the museum has long-term
we have
exhibits.
Permanent exhibits, yeah, most of it. And then we have a couple temporary exhibit spaces. And right now in our temporary exhibit space, it's an exhibit called Dark Testament, A Century of Black Writers on Justice. So we're looking at writings from pretty much post-Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement and themes that are sadly written about 100 years ago that are still being written about, you know, in the 60s and 70s. So.
How do you do this? Obviously, it's a collaborative kind of effort to come up with these things. What's the team like there?
That's a great question because early on it was decided when we were putting the museum together, we're not going to have a single curator because there's not one person who's going to be a subject matter expert on all the different things that we want to look at.
Because the written word, yeah.
Yeah, at our museum, we look at all different genres and everything it means to be an American writer and how it affects the society and culture. And so we have teams that we bring in. So for the, like, say, example, the Dark Testament exhibit, Dr. Kedric Roy from Harvard was our lead curator, and then we bring in other people to help shape the content because, you know, within our staff, we come up with ideas, but then to dig in deeper and try to understand how it affected our culture, how it affected society, and really get the knowledge in, we have to bring in experts who really know about those fields.
Wow. What about the get lit topics? How do you
Those are internal, mostly our community engagement manager Matt. He's got great ideas. He comes up with a lot of different ideas and he'll bounce them off the staff. We'll sometimes have like practice runs of things he comes up with, but it's a lot of just internal staff ideas that they don't get. Then, oh, yeah, let's do that. And we just, you know, we're nimble enough, we can run with it.
What kind of booze do you serve at these things? Do you serve booze?
We do. We have a
bartender. Liquor license there.
We don't. We have a bartender that comes in who has a liquor license and the insurance and all that. So it's kind of a somewhat catered idea where the bartender comes in and happy hour mobile bartending. She's great, Latasha. And she comes in. And so we do like, you know, soft drinks, water. But then we have, you know, beer, wine, and usually like a specialty cocktail of some sort. So for the Get Lit Down With Love, it's going to be a bitter sour. Or no. It's basically like a gin and tonic.
You know me. I don't drink mixed drinks. I'm going to keep Chris Vera all the way to the half hour. You can go to AmericanWritersMuseum.org, and it really is a very, very special place. Downtown, it's not the Art Institute, but it's equally interesting. It is equally interesting. It's on Michigan Avenue. What's the address?
180 North Michigan, Michigan and Lake.
Yeah, it's right around the corner from this joint, and it is. I don't know anybody who's ever gone in there that was not impressed. We got to take
nice.
A short little break, and I'll talk to you about. You know, you had Ed Zwick in there last week, a famous film director. He was blown away by it.
Oh, wow.
But he performed there, so we'll be right back. Chris Burrow, the director of operations, that's a lofty title.
Yeah.
is in here. He's an old friend. We became friends when the American Writers Museum opened in 2017. Even given, Chris, the COVID interlude, the reluctant COVID interlude, give me a sense of the health of the museum. I mean, I hear people talk about it with encouraging frequency.
Yeah, we do get a lot of great feedback. Like you were saying a little earlier, everyone that comes in usually raves about it. So it's a lot of getting the word of mouth out there. You know, we're seeing attendance numbers build back up better than last year, better than 2022, not near where we were in 2019 before the bottom fell out of everything.
You know, I worry because, you know, the news at the Pritzker Military Library, which is a big space, a very big space.
Yeah.
Couple blocks south of you is moving to Wisconsin, and I just think that places like the American Writers Museum is important for the vitality of the Loop.
It's important for Chicago and the country to celebrate American writers the way we do, because we're celebrating the past, but we're also promoting the present. Like we had Ed Zwick there, you know, about his biography, and we're trying to inspire the future, like with the kids that come in and learn about typewriters, and
Well, and I think, you know, one of the great things is a kid can come in there and they will see the exhibition of various faces and authors and say, oh, my God, there's a black person. There's this person. Gwendolyn Brooks.
Yeah. That was a big part of when we were creating the museum. We wanted to, you know, we have a timeline of 100 authors, you know, through different eras and sure. different genres, but it's not like a best of. That's what we tell people right away. This is just representative of people who were creating at that time period, and so that way we're allowed to have many different voices.
Oh, I know,
up there,
and I think that's one of the great things of the museum.
Yeah, it really definitely is, because like you're saying, kids come in and they say, oh, and they can identify with someone and they get inspired.
See, I've seen it happen in Chicago where kids realize that my God, Gwendolyn Brooks used to live three blocks from where I go to school. And that's a great thing about Gwendolyn. She used to go to schools and speak, the first Black Pulitzer Prize winner, and quite a nice woman. When you have events, like you have them often, we mentioned Ed Zwick being mm-hmm. there. Just last week, giving a talk. Do you then post those on your Facebook page, or what do you do with those?
We'll post them on social, but we also have a YouTube channel where we have all of our author talks. We'll then go up, you know, might be next week or two. Sometimes we give our members first preview, and then we release it out to the general public. So, you know, becoming a member, it gives you those little perks. But you can always, on our website, you know, check out the events and calendar section and see all the different author events that are coming up.
Basically, you have a lot of author events, don't you?
We do. We do squeeze in a lot. You know, this time of year, not as many just because of the weather.
Yes, February in Chicago, yeah.
Which we've had a mild one, to say the least. But we're also, this will be the second year we're going to be doing the American Writers Festival in May. So we did the inaugural one a couple years ago. So it's going to be like every other year. And this year, it's going to be over at the Harold Washington Library, and we're partnering with the Chicago Public Library. Poetry Foundation has come on board as well. We're getting other sponsors for that. So May 19th, it's all free to the public, and we're going to be having five or six stages, you know, like 70-something authors.
Wow.
So different panels about, you know, different subjects. So, you know, keep checking our website, because we'll have more information as we get closer.
Given the news that Barnes & Noble, and this is the commercial end of what we're talking about, but Barnes & Noble is opening three new brick-and-mortar stores in Chicago, what do you make of that? I fear that, you know, a place like Volumes Bookstore gets hurt by that, but it can't be bad. I can't remember the last time I heard about a big bookstore opening.
Yeah, I really love supporting independent bookstores.
I know you do.
But that just means more people are reading and more people want physical books, which I can't help but, you know, feel encouraged by that, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about your wife for a little while. You've had an interesting career. You're a poet.
Yes.
You are a poet, and you've done many, 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 and photographer. And your wife, Stephanie Browning, does she go by Browning?
Browning, yeah.
Browning is a sort of cabaret artist. Is that what
she is? A jazz vocalist.
Yeah.
But she likes, you know, turning that in pop tunes and kind of, you know, making them more interesting and unique. So, you know, just kind of putting her little twist on all kinds of different, whether it's jazz standards to American, like, pop, like, you know, that kind of new things.
And her kind of musical home is Catch 35, which is just up the block on Wacker.
Yeah, she'll be there on the 17th. She plays there pretty pretty often, and it's a great spot too. Great food.
Yeah.
It's one of the few places in the city that are playing live music all the time, which is great because there used to be a lot of them, and
I know
a lot have.
No, I mean, you and I, being where you are and being where I am, and being down and part of this whole loop scene, we're watching the city change, I think, and my hope is changing for the better. It's transforming, I think.
I hope it's changing for the better, too, but it's always changing, which is, ever since the fire, Chicago is always changing.
Even before the fire,
definitely.
It was always changing.
So, you don't get used to anything because it will change in Chicago.
Are there any big plans? I mean, the American Writers Festival sounds great, but now that things seem to be back to normal, when you're sitting around with your colleagues at the American Writers Museum, what are you guys dreaming about? What are you guys plotting?
Well, we're plotting to get more people in the door,
that's why I asked you to be on too.
We really appreciate
you. No, don't be silly.
Inviting me.
Appreciate it.
But also, I'll be remiss if I don't mention that on the 18th and 19th of this month, Sunday and Monday, we're having family days, and we're going to have free admission so people can come in and check out the museum, especially for Black History Month, because the Dark Testament exhibit is only going to be there till the beginning of May, and then we're going to be changing that around. So we want to encourage people to come for that. And then that's going to be something new we're doing, where every month we're going to be doing a free Sunday, the third Sunday of the month.
For families
to come in and experience the museum for free, just to get people in.
What a great idea.
Because our ticket prices are really low compared to a lot of places, just that incentive where if you can bring your family and you don't have to mortgage the house, you can come and check out a cultural institution.
And you can still afford a donut at Stan's across the street.
Yeah.
And then for those of you big spenders, and you can go down to Catch 35. I'm so pleased to see you, and I'm so pleased to learn that the museum is healthy.
Yeah,
I worry about that.
More people talk about it, the more people come out, the more we can share with the world. So thank you guys for coming out.
Well, again, the website is quite cool. You go to AmericanWritersMuseum.org, and people can become, you can become a member.
You can become a member. You can get tickets there. You can also check out all the different events and programming that we've been talking about. So,
And how do they, your YouTube channel, is that accessible through the website?
Yeah, through our website, there's a bunch of links to the YouTube channel. Or if you're just a YouTube user, you go on YouTube and search us, and we have a channel. We have, thousands-something subscribers. I don't know. So you can find us all there.
And does Stephanie Browning have a website?
StephanieBrowning.com,
There you go. Rick Hogan, full-service disc jockey. Chris, it's great to see you.
Thanks, Rick.
Safe drive home. Watch the game. Do whatever you do.